I'm Joey D'Alessandro, along with Krista Daniels, WRPR News. More than ever before, students with disabilities are attending college and experiencing great success academically. But who are the administrators and counselors that are responsible for supporting them? And how involved do they get in their education? The answer can be found in a group of small rooms in Ramapo's C building, known as the Office of Specialized Services. We began our discussions with learning disability specialist, Ramona Kopaz. Do most of your students have documented learning disabilities or physical disabilities?
The majority of the students do have learning disabilities, but it's just barely over 50% of the students. We work with students with all types of disabilities, and very often students will have more than one disability.
What are the most common problems that students with learning disabilities encounter, and what accommodations do you find most helpful to them?
I would venture to guess that most of the students with learning disabilities are looking to have the need for extra time to process, especially when they're taking a test. And so a number of them will arrange for alternative testing, either for extended time or a reduced distraction setting. There are some students who utilize adaptive technology, such as the Kurzweil 3000, which can be used with a voice output so that they can hear what they're writing or reading. And the latest thing that a large number of students are getting into is a pen that has a tape recorder built into it, pulse pen or smart pen, and they use it when they're taking notes to supplement their lecture.
When a student has a physical disability, it's apparent. Learning disabilities could be non-apparent. Do students feel uncomfortable or embarrassed approaching a professor about accommodations?
I would say that there are some who may feel uncomfortable, depending on how long they've known that they have a diagnosed disability. When students come in and they've already been through a system where they've recognized that having a disability is part of who they are, it's not their whole being, and they've come to accept that's just a piece of their life and their journey and need to compensate for it, whereas other students who come in and they're newly diagnosed aren't used to the idea of what it means to have a disability. So they're more likely to be going through stages similar to grieving that Kubler-Ross talks about, where before they get to the place of acceptance that the disability is part of who they are, and that just like everybody else, when they're heading for graduate school or they're heading for the full-time employment, that they want to talk about their strengths and their skill sets and include the disability only as it's relevant to the compensatory strategies that they use.
I'm Krista Daniels, and I'm here in Overlook Hall, where the majority of sophomores at Ramapo College live. Sarah Gordon, sophomore psychology major, has been a note taker for two semesters, and she feels like it's a very simple and direct way to help someone in her class. If you can imagine a student hasn't heard of what a note taker is, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that it's someone who copies their own notes from the class for another student in the class who can remain anonymous if they wish, who is unable for whatever disability reason that they can't take notes for themselves. The note taker's responsibility is to copy their notes after each class and leave it in a folder in the Office of Specialized Services after the class and for the student to pick up.
Would you say helping is the main reason that you took this job?
I would say that. I would also say it doesn't hurt that there's a $100 stipend. I mean, there's other ways to earn $100, but I thought this was a community service-oriented way, something, I mean, I've had people come up to me saying they appreciate my notes being so thorough. The minimum requirement is you have to do, in order to get paid, you only have to do it 10 times. So for hour and a half classes, you meet way more than 10 times, so I did it every time. So obviously it wasn't about the money, but, you know, someone benefiting from that and learning from that and maybe learning how they can possibly take their own notes in the future so that they can learn from your note-taking style.
Have you gotten close to any of the people that you've taken notes for?
I actually became a tutor for one of them because she really appreciated my notes, and she asked me if I would also tutor her in the class. So we didn't really become close friends, but I did have established a different relationship with her than just note-taker, note-takey, so to speak.
I am here with the director of the Office of Specialized Services, Dr. David Nast. If a student gradually begins to realize, hey, I might have a learning disability, what steps should he or she take?
Well, in order to receive services through our office, we require documentation. Documentation of a learning disability would consist of psychological testing and educational testing. And a learning disability, by its definition, is also a situation that is not caused by a variety of other factors. So the evaluation has to rule out other things like simply a lack of education, a lack of exposure to material, or some other kind of other psychological issues that may be preventing a student from learning.
What is the biggest misconception about students with learning disabilities?
The biggest issue I see regarding perceptions of students with learning disabilities is that there's a belief that somehow the student with a learning disability lacks intelligence. And once again, by definition, a person who would be considered as having a learning disability has to have at least average intelligence. So it's peculiar that an essential element of the definition people seem to ignore when they have this misconception of what a learning disability is. So I faced that more in my last setting than I see here at Ramapo, where faculty seem to be more able to acknowledge the fact that students with learning disabilities have the required intellectual ability to be on a college campus.
How do you assist a student whose needs go beyond academic accommodations? For example, a student with Asperger's syndrome who may have a social issue as well as an academic issue.
Here at Ramapo, we're very fortunate that we have a federal grant through the TRIO program, and this allows us to provide additional services that go beyond just accommodating students. We are able to provide additional academic advising, we're able to provide personal counseling, additional tutoring assistance. We also have a summer bridge program to help students get acclimated prior to the start of their fall semester. Working with a student with Asperger's, some of those services could be quite helpful in acclimating them to the college setting. Student with Asperger's, one of their primary issues is the social interaction, and a residential college like Ramapo has that element of res life that can be a big challenge, and we try to assist students in negotiating that new experience of living in a communal type setting.
For many students, guidance from the Office of Specialized Services is essential if they want to fulfill all their expectations at Ramapo. The Counseling Center provides another outlet for any student struggling with things in their lives, including a disability. Residence Life allows eligible OSS students to be assisted with an OSS Independent Living Counselor so that each student's needs are met. If you have any questions or needs, please contact someone at the Office of Specialized Services at 201-684-7514 or email them at oss@rampo.edu. This is Krista Daniels and Joey D'Alessandro, WRPR News.